Uncensored.
Stop putting in Jacquizz Rodgers! He's a motherfucking midget! A fucking midget! Behind a fucking sorry-ass offensive line! Don't do it no more! How can the fuck nobody sees this shit? He gets one fucking yard! Take his ass out the motherfucking NFL and put his ass in a fucking circus! Stop! Shouts out to La Tyrella. Hope you get okay. And your fucking angles suck, bro. You are so fucking passionate. You need to put that passion on your motherfucking angles!
Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. $5 game day pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Light. And $5 cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. At Mastro Subaru, you've got guys running that dealership that are stick carriers just like each and every one of you. And because of that, they are giving you a special deal that nobody else gets. Go to Mastro Subaru, whether it's in Orlando or right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Tell them you're a stick carrier and you get special stick carrier pricing just for being a Bucks fan. It's that simple. New and pre-owned vehicles, they've got a huge selection. You go in, tell them you're a Bucks fan, tell them you're a stick carrier, and they're going to take some money off of that price just for you. Mastro Subaru with two locations in Orlando and Tampa. Check them out at MastroSubaru.com.
This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else. It's not going to work. You're self-sustaining.
You see how we play as a family. You see what we do as a family. I can't see my face, and the answer is unequivocally yes.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's, and let's do it as a family. That's right.
Bucks Uncensored, midweek edition. A lot has transpired over the last 48 hours. This reminded me a lot of podcasts I've done in the past, where cooler heads tend to prevail. As you heard, X is still upset, and I completely understand the frustration with the Jacquizz Rodgers. But this isn't going to be an episode where there's a lot of screaming and yelling and anger. You know, if the Bucks continue to play the way all of you have kind of portrayed them as playing, then there's going to be plenty of time to scream and yell over the latter half of the season. I'm Justin Pulaski. If this is your first time, this is Bucks Uncensored. I love the fact that we're getting so many first-time Bucks takes coming in, along with a lot of those names and voices you all have grown familiar to. And listen, this podcast, I'm not out there marketing and advertising. I'm not as active on social media as I used to be, especially during the days. So, I encourage you. This has been a podcast that has always been about the fans and talking about our team. This isn't a podcast about our team. This podcast is about the fans talking about the team we love. The goal we all have in common, and that's to win. It doesn't matter who the players are, doesn't matter who the coach is, doesn't matter who the general manager is. That's why you'll tune into this podcast, and I mean, it's uncensored. If Jameis Winston does something wrong, damn it, we're going to talk about it. If Quan Alexander or Gerald McCoy or Lavonte David or Mike Evans, I think I've criticized every single one of those players. Best play. Hey, listen, and I'm not criticizing them because I'm a hater. I'm criticizing them because I expect more from them. My expectations on these players are very high, and they should be. They're the top players, the most talented players on the team. Just like I would criticize an average player if he wasn't living up to my expectations for him. So, the Bucks are 3-3. I asked on Monday for you all to send me some Bucks takes after the dust had settled, and we got a ton of them, a lot of them. Not going to be able to play all of them because we'd be here for probably 10 hours. But I do have some newcomers. I've got some veterans. I've got a lot of Bucks takes we're going to play. But before I get to that, I do want to address the quarterback position, the running back position, and the offensive scheme, and the offensive game plans. And after that, because as of right now, I do not believe Patrick Peterson has been traded, so I'll go ahead and talk about Patrick Peterson briefly, before we get into the Bucks takes. Let's start, though, with offense. 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 The offense for the Buccaneers this season has taken the league by surprise. But as I have talked about on this very podcast, you can only take the NFL by surprise for so long before they catch on. Defensive coordinators across the NFL are much different than the defensive coordinators the Bucks have had in Lovie Smith, Mike Smith, and whomever else. They actually game plan and make adjustments and figure your offense out and how to stop it. It's up to your coaches to continue to adjust as other teams are trying to catch up to you. The Bucks came out in that week one against the New Orleans Saints, and things were just working. The ground game wasn't dominant, but it was efficient. And I think when you look at this Buccaneer team this year, that's what they need. I mean, look back to that week one game. Peyton Barber, okay, listen, 19 carries, 69 yards. 19 carries, though. 19 carries. You add in a couple for Rodgers, one for Sean Wilson. So all in all, they ran the ball for more than 20 times in that game. And Fitzpatrick, by the way, had 12 carries that day. But I'm not counting that. The running backs got more than 20 carries in that game. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for just 28 times in that game, and the Bucs would go on to win. Week two, the Buccaneers were home against the Philadelphia Eagles. It was a rough day on the ground. Honestly, I mean, between the running backs, the Bucs had, I'm adding it up because it's off of an app. The Bucs had, 54 yards on the ground, 22 carries. When you run the ball that many times, you have less pass attempts, 33. Okay, it's still high, but not overly high. Not in this NFL this year or recently. The Bucs would go on to win. 27-21. Fast forward to week three, Monday Night Football. We all know what happened. The Bucs got down. When you get down, you abandon the run. You have to throw. You make mistakes. And quite frankly, the more you throw the ball, the more mistakes you could potentially make. Fitzpatrick, great. 28 passes. Great. 33 passes. 50 passes in a game, although he was much better in the second half than the first half. Had to throw the ball 50 times, and the Buccaneers did go on to lose. Now, they were down big. They came back. They were still down big in that game. We know what happened in Chicago. But see, here's the thing. So Fitzpatrick, and I'm not saying, you know, Fitzpatrick, he had better stats than Jameis. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick got the better end of the deal in terms of offense. But I have to question Dirk Cutter and Todd Monken. Whoever's calling the plays, I don't give a shit. I honestly don't. Because if Cutter's fired, Munkin's gone. Okay, they're not going to keep the offensive coordinator again. So get that out of your mind. So who cares who's calling the plays? Whoever's calling the plays, figure it the fuck out. But here's the deal. Fitzpatrick averaged 37 attempts per game in those first few games. I'll just go with the ones that he started. I'm not going to count the Bears game. The Bears game was a wash. Fitzpatrick played a half. Winston played a half. Neither played great. Let's just wash that. Wash our hands of that game. First three games. Three starts for Fitzpatrick. 128 attempts. Five interceptions. Looked like around 37 attempts a game. Again, like 128 attempts, five interceptions. Jameis Winston, in his two games as a starting quarterback, he's averaging 46 attempts a game. 46 attempts. We have talked about me, you, everyone else. We've been talking about the importance of the running back for the last several years now. The last two drafts in particular. A draft in which Jason Light and his staff drafted the only running back in the 2017 draft to be a failure. Look at the names in that draft. I don't care if it was in the first round, second round, third round with Kareem Hunt, Tariq Cohen for the Bears, Chris Carson for the Seahawks late. I mean, you go up and down that draft, every running back is turning out to be good, great, or a stud except Jeremy McNichols. The Bucs didn't get a running back in free agency, and thus they had shit at running back last year. Fast forward to this year. Okay, we got Peyton Barber. They drafted Ronald Jones. That's it. There's no investment into the running back position and no investment into the running game. No investment. And so they haven't been able to run the ball, and the running game has progressively gotten worse for this team. Now, Peyton Barber did have 13 carries, 82 yards against the Falcons, by the way, but only 13 carries. Jameis Winston throws for 41 times. We know, four touchdowns, had the two interceptions, but the Bucs ended up losing the football game. 13 carries for 82 yards. I mean, you have to wonder why not continuing to try and run the football. Run the football with some efficiency. It allows you to do the play action pass, forces defense to come up to stop the run, and opens up the pass game. And oh, by the way, when you have weapons like Evans, DeSean Jackson, whether he wants to play or not, whether he's going to pout or not, Chris Godwin, Adam Humphries, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard, you should be able to run the fucking football because they can't bring a safety down into the box. So what's the issue here? I haven't even gotten, there's so many topics with this team. I haven't even gotten to DeSean Jackson. Oh, by the way, Jameis and DeSean Jackson, they just can't figure it out. I don't know about you, and I'll criticize Jameis Winston for his mistakes, but Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Adam Humphries, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard, none of them, zero of them, have had a difficult time adjusting to Jameis Winston at quarterback. But DeSean Jackson just forgets how to play football? Shit. And then, of course, so that's the run game, 41 attempts. And then Jameis Winston with 52 attempts this past week against the Cleveland Browns. No run game again. Jameis Winston led the team in rushing with 55 yards, but Peyton Barber, 11 carries. 6 carries for Ronald Jones. 3 carries for Jaquizz Rodgers. I'm sure X was very fond of that. They did get to 20 carries on the game. Thank God for overtime. And guess what? 20 carries and they win. But 52 attempts. So, what I've seen on social media has been many of you believe Jameis Winston turns the ball over too much. Whether you think he's turnover machine, turnover prone, or just turns the ball over too much. That's the consensus. Now, not only am I going to tell you that in Jameis Winston's 2 starts this year, he's averaging over 46 attempts a game, and he's had over 40 in both games, and last game was 52. But I can now tell you that this season in the NFL, and this is where Ryan Fitzpatrick comes into play and Jameis Winston comes into play, because it, quite frankly, it's unfair to both of them, but maybe this is the type of offense some quarterbacks like to play in. You're throwing the ball for Fitzpatrick, it was 37 times a game. For Jameis Winston, it's 46 times a game. And the average air yards, so the time the ball is in the air, the distance it's in the air per pass attempt, the Buccaneers lead the league. Every pass that the Buccaneers have thrown this year has averaged 10.4 yards through the air. That's not a quick slant that then goes for 10 yards. They're talking about yards through the air that the ball travels. So the Bucs lead the league, 10.4. Browns are second, 9.3. Then the Texans at 9.3 and the Chiefs at 9.2. The Bucs are more than a yard, throwing the ball more than a yard down the field further per pass attempt than every other team in the NFL. And while that's exciting, when you do that 52 times in a game, if you think your quarterback is going to be perfect, you are misunderstood and misinformed about the game of football. 52 times, averaging more than 10 yards in the air. So throwing it down the field 52 times in a game, sorry, any quarterback in the NFL, maybe minus Rodgers and Brady, it's going to make mistakes. Because the more times you have a quarterback throw the football, the more opportunities they have to make a mistake. So before we just start criticizing Jameis Winston for throwing an interception, which he had, 2 in the last game? on 52 attempts. I mean, quite frankly, you start to look at that and you're like, that's not bad. Considering one, if he got a little more air on it, that's actually a touchdown pass to OJ Howard. So I just, for me, there's more to it than just Jameis Winston stinks. I mean, Jameis Winston has probably had more put on his shoulders in the first 4 years of his NFL career than any other quarterback. I'm not talking about off the field. I'm talking about on the field. You're asking a young quarterback. I mean, they're trying to protect Marcus Mariota as much as they can in Tennessee. They don't want him throwing the ball more than 10 times in a game. Lord knows he's not going to complete any passes. So they're doing whatever they can to hide their quarterback, and the Bucs are doing whatever they can to exploit their quarterback. He throws the ball 52 times with just two interceptions. I mean, if this quarterback, if Jameis Winston is truly as turnover prone as all of you make him out to be, you're not throwing just two interceptions when you throw the ball, put the ball up 52 times in a game. You're throwing two interceptions every 30 attempts or every 25 attempts. The real criticism should be going to Dirk Koetter and Todd Monken for not figuring out the run game. For not figuring out how to establish. Listen, I'm not asking for 200 yards a game. Damn it, I'm not even asking for 100 yards a game. I'm asking to stick with it, be efficient, 20 carries for an average of 3 to 4 yards a carry. You give me 20 carries and 80 yards, I will take it. I will take it. 25 carries for 80 yards, I'll take it. Because you're going to throw the ball a little bit less. You're going to allow. Here's the other thing. How many times did you hear Mike Allstott say he needed to get into a rhythm? And when he would get into that rhythm, that's when he would be dominant in the fourth quarter. So many of you probably criticized John Gruden for not running the Allstott more. Well, the same criticism should be pointed to the head coach and the offensive coordinator, the guys who run the offense. How can two offensive minds not figure out how to run the football, establish a run, take some pressure off your quarterback so that your quarterback can be in the same position as most quarterbacks across the NFL? They're not asking quarterbacks across the NFL to throw the ball 46 times a game, which is what Jameis Winston is averaging. Hell, I was looking at it, and I think, what did I have? Oh, did I delete it? Damn it. I think Rodgers was over 40. Aaron Rodgers was over 40 times a game. But most everyone else was under 38 times a game. Give your quarterback it. Give your friend, if you want him to be your franchise quarterback, I'm not talking to fans right now. I'm talking to the organization. If the organization wants Jameis Winston to be their franchise quarterback, you've given him the weapons around him. Complete it. Figure out some semblance of a run game. And you might see your young quarterback become even better. And I know some of you just don't like him and will never like him. But try and look at it objectively. He can't turn the ball over. He can't make the mistakes when he makes them. Okay? He can't underthrow. He can't zip the pass into there to O.J. Howard. That can't happen, Jameis. You've got to put some air under it. Hit him in stride. It's a touchdown. But for those of you blaming Jameis Winston for the mistakes, you might want to channel your blame and your anger in the direction of the coaching staff for not putting their players in best position to win. Or best position to succeed and be successful. Speaking of that, defense was improved this past week, but not great. Everyone's all up in arms. Arizona Cardinals star cornerback Patrick Peterson, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, is 28 years old, turned 28 in July. and he has demanded a trade from the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the good news here is Jason Light is familiar with Patrick Peterson. I want to give you pros and cons, because a lot of you are saying just go out and make the deal, which might make sense, and does make sense to an extent. Pros. Boy, would I love to see Patrick Peterson mentoring Carlton Davis, MJ Stewart, Vernon Hargraves, Justin Evans, Jordan Whitehead, all these young players in the secondary, and you can bring in one of the best corners, one of the best defensive backs in the NFL to mentor them. Yeah, I'd be all for that. I'd be all for it. And you still have Grimes for the rest of this year, which he'd be gone next year, most likely retired. I think it would be a great addition. I think he could be a cornerstone on your defense, but I think you also have to take into account that he is 28 and he'll be 29 next year. Now, with that being said, I'm not giving up a first-round pick for him. And if it would cost a first-round pick, I wouldn't do it. It's too rich. Too rich for a young team like the Buccaneers right now. I think he's a great player, but you're really not going to get much out of him this year, right? I mean, he could help a little bit. I don't think any of us see the Buccaneers going on this magical run and winning the Super Bowl because they traded for Patrick Peterson. And then next year, he'd have a full offseason. Going into next year, he'd be 29. And now you got to start to wonder, is he going to be like Brent Grimes and play to his mid-30s at a high level? Or will he start to fade a little bit? A bigger corner. If he starts to lose that quickness, now you just gave up a first-round pick. And a first-round pick, you hope, is going to be a pick. And Jason Light has been much better on first-round picks than second-round picks. If I'm going to explore a trade for Patrick Peterson, I'm trying to do a second this year and a third next year, or a second this year and a second next year. I'd like to steer clear of a first-round pick to give up for him. But, man, he would be a great addition to this defense. I'd also look at Carl Joseph of the Oakland Raiders. If they're in a fire sale, safety that could come in, be the strong safety in a rotation with Whitehead and Justin Evans, I think it would be great for the secondary also. All right, a lot of Bucks takes. We're going to get to those next. But first, I want to remind you that if you are going to be staying home, hey, there's no watch party. There's no Cigar City Brewing watch party for you this Sunday for the Bucks-Bengals. So I encourage you to spend time with your family, spend time with your friends. But no matter where you are, whether you're at home or you're going out to the bars, make sure you get that Cigar City High Lie if you want to have a good time and make your Sunday a Sunday fun day. And if you're not into the Cigar City High Lie and you want a beer that maybe is more appropriate for the Buccaneers, try that Cigar City Invasion, which is perfect. It's the perfect beer for Gasparilla. It's the perfect beer for every Sunday during football season if you're a Bucks fan. Cigar City Brewing, their tasting room is on Spruce Street. If you've never been there before, it is fantastic. Cigar City, I love the High Lie. Just make sure that if you do partake in some Cigar City, you don't drink and drive. Let's get some Bucks takes.
Bucks Uncensored.
Y'all know me, still the same OG, but I've been low key. Hated on by most these niggas with no cheese, no deals and no G's, no wheels and no keys, no boats, no snowmobiles and no skis. Mad at me cause I can finally afford to provide my family with groceries. Got a crib with a studio and a saw full of tracks to add to the wall full of plaques. Hanging up in the office and back of my house like trophies. Did y'all think I'ma let my dough freeze? Hold please, you better bow down on both knees. Who you think taught you to smoke trees? Who you think taught you the ODs?
I'm really glad that I was able to sit down and do this podcast tonight, because there was a moment when I was leaving work around 6:30, 6:45, where I was like, I'm not doing the podcast. I'm tired. It was like an 11-hour day nonstop. For those that are in sales, happy fourth quarter. Yikes. It is quite the adrenaline rush every second of every day for the next 6 weeks or so. So, yee, fourth quarter push. All right, a lot of really, really good Bucks takes to share with you. Remember, you can always send in your Bucks take. That's what sets this podcast apart. You get half of it where it's just me, and then the other half where you get to listen to each other. Unite Bucks fans. Share your opinions. Share your thoughts. Really, share why you think the what you think the Bucks need to do to win, because that's ultimately the goal. You know, some you might agree with, some you might not, but ultimately we all want the same thing. So shove your ego at the door. I don't know where you why you would shove it at the door, but you know what? I want to start with Tony Tega because he is my and your boy.
Justin, stick carriers. Your boy Tony Tega here, Section 112. Had a couple days to think about Sunday, and I don't want to talk about the kicker or Quan Alexander's amazing half of football or the piss-poor, soul-sucking, loser mentality body language of DeSean Jackson over the last two games. I want to talk about something that happened after the game. The Bucks win, and we're all in a great mood and hooting and hollering on our way at the stadium, so I'm in line for the restroom, and I overhear a couple of Browns fans talking about flying home to Ohio, and I turn around. It's a father and his two kids, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the youngest of these two kids with his head down. And I immediately had flashbacks. I've been watching this football team since they drafted Vinny Testaverde. You don't quantify what being the fan of a shitty football team is as a kid unless you live through it. And I just kind of looked at him and I offered him a fist bump and I said, hey, you have a good football team. They're going to get better. And I hope I made his day. And I guess this is a lot less about the game and a lot more of a PSA to those in the media that characterize us as stick carriers, as a bunch of bloodthirsty assholes with a mob mentality. Well, write this in your blog, motherfuckers. This is what we're about. We're about unity, not division. We're hardworking guys. We love our city, and we love our football team, and we have high standards and expectations for them. That's who we are. Dig it or fuck off. We'll be speaking softly and carrying that big motherfucking stick up to the natty.
Fantastic story, Tony. I think, you know, people hear you say shit or fuck and they think you're a bad person. You know, quite frankly, we are a mob. We are a mob. Any fan base can be a mob. But you can either run from it or embrace it. And quite frankly, I've embraced it. Ever since people started calling us a mob, I thought it was pretty cool. I actually like it. If anything, together, all of us, we are a Bucks mob. And don't think that we're going to continue to grow and become that more and more. That's something I can believe in, and that's something I think you all can believe in. Because when I think about that phrase that ignited the stick carriers, speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick. And damn it, if we have not all done that together, speak softly. And while I'm not in an area for me to be my boisterous self, as I got a 5-year-old sleeping in the room right behind me, and it's late at night, I can say this. I think the days of speaking softly are coming to an end. We're tired of speaking softly. Because it seems like we speak softly and then we don't see that big motherfucking stick being busted out. And we're done being quiet about it. We want to see it and we're going to be loud about it. And our voices are going to grow louder and louder and louder until we see what we want out of our team on the football field. So, with that being said, we go from one podcast to another. The Pewtercast. I love those guys on the Pewtercast. And Ren, my buddy Ren, sent in his own Bucks take. Take it away, Ren.
Hey, Justin, it's Ren from the PewterCast. I know you put out there on your Monday pod that you wanted people to settle down and send in their takes on Wednesday to see if they feel any better. And you know what? I'm sorry, buddy, but I don't. But it's not about, you know, barely beating the Browns. You know, it's this backlash that's still constantly going against Jameis Winston. I mean, if you're a Bucks fan and you want to talk about how the offensive line's pass protection seems to get worse every game, I get it. If you want to talk about how the Browns, down by 14 points, just ran the ball right up the middle against the Bucks and got back into the game and tied it up, I get it. If you want to, if you want to talk about the running backs, how they're almost a non-factor in every game but one, I get it. But if you're out there talking about Jameis Winston and his picks and thinking that he's not a franchise quarterback, I don't get it. And it seems this is just continuing on and on and on. Jameis Winston, let's start with the obvious. He won the game. He won the game. He put his team in field goal position, winning field goal position, twice. Four turnovers by the offense, and we still won the game because of Jameis Winston. Go back and look at that first half. Jameis Winston would refuse for the Bucks to lose in that first half. All he did was get third down, convert third down after third down with his legs, with his arms. You know what people aren't talking about? Hold on Donovan Smith on that first that should have been the game-winning field goal. Holding on Donovan Smith, what does Jameis Winston do? Come up with a big throw, boom, hits Mike Evans for 21 yards. Continues to drive to put Catanzaro in the position to win the game. You know else what he did? After those two sacks, he hit DeSean Jackson. No one's talking about that. He doesn't make that throw. The only two options left are we tie or lose the game. He got us in position to win. Go back to the Atlanta game. Atlanta comes out. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. You're down by 21. You're down. They scored 21 points for three times. They touched the ball. You know what? At the end of the game, what? We're at the 20-yard line. A chance to win the game. Just because Jameis Winston hasn't progressed as fast as you think he should, or he's not doing what you feel a franchise quarterback should, who else is there? Go through them. Like anyone under the age of 30, go through them. There's maybe one or two quarterbacks out there that are better than Jameis Winston, and you can make an argument for them. You know why? Because they either have like one of the greatest play callers in the NFL, or they have a fucking running back, or they have a defense. It is unfathomable to me that these people are still talking about Jameis Winston not being a franchise quarterback. And here's what I'm going to do. Like, do not at me on Twitter about Jameis Winston. Do not slide in my DMs about Jameis Winston. And sure as fuck, do not send me a goddamn email about Jameis Winston. You know who's going to decide when Jameis Winston isn't a franchise quarterback? For me, in my little world, my little reality, it's me. And you know when that's going to happen? Probably not for another 2 years before I even make a decision on it. I can't anymore. I'm out.
I love it, Ren. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast, this Bucks Uncensored podcast. And you all know so many great Bucks podcasts out there, including what Ren and Brent do. They're on PewterCast. I fully urge you to subscribe to theirs. Ira Kaufman's, just a lot of great What the Buck with Derek. Great guy. There's a lot of great podcasts out there so that you can completely avoid the mainstream evil Bucks media that will continue. How about your local sports talk radio station tweeting out today whether or not Bucks fans want to stick with Jameis Winston or trade for Derek Carr? What in the absolute fuck? You all know that they're just tapping into the dumbest of listeners out there that would actually fall for their bullshit. Be smarter than that. Don't fall for it. Block them. Unfollow them. Don't listen to them. Let them be buried 6 feet under after their station goes under. I don't know what that means. Let's do some more Bucks takes, shall we? Damon, what's up, man?
What's up, Kamish? It's your boy, Damon. So, okay, how I'm feeling right now. Bucks just won overtime, 59-yard kick. Fucking ecstatic. Fucking, I really put out all my hair, and I really don't got no hair anyway. I mean, crazy game, up and down. You know, I'm kind of in between. You know, I'm a diehard Bucks fan regardless. I love the Bucks. Just after this win, I'm a little in between, because if we would have lost this game, I would have already had a picture on how this season was going to turn out. But the fact that we won, I'm still kind of in between on, okay, Mike Smith gone. That's what I wanted, you know. So a linebacker's coach moved up. He coaching the defense. And it was looking good in the first half, but I just don't like the fact that it don't matter what quarterback it is, they look like Tom Brady out there picking our defense apart. It don't on any level. And for some reason, it's always the backup that always look better than the start. I ain't going to get into that. But, okay, and offense, Jameis did make a lot of dumb throws and mistakes that I felt like, you know, he could change and get better at it. But it's like, come on, bro. Jameis, I love you, bro. I'm a diehard Jameis fan at that. It's like, bro, I'm going to give you how many chances you need. But, bro, this year, what? What, year three or year four? Year four, Jameis? Bro, you can't make the mistakes no more, bro. We have no running game to save our life. I just keep Rojo in there. Keep Rojo in there with Peyton Barber. Man, I'm just so lost on this season because I don't know what to look at, what to pick on, what to kind of focus on. I just know I love my fucking team, and I'm a ride for them. If they're 0-16, they're 16-0. But we gotta move upward, and it seemed like we take one step forward and two steps back. Come on, Bucks!
Don't be down, Damon. I want to hear happy Damon. Come on, Bucks. Can you do me a solid and just win a game so that I can hear happy Damon? Speaking of a happy guy, you know Lee's happy.
Bucks pass, Dick Carriers, Justin. What's up? It's Lee from the T. The Bucks win. The Bucks stole the win at home from the Cleveland Browns. Chandler Catanzaro with a damn near 60-yard field goal in overtime. Man, damn near gave me a stroke watching that game. I tell you what, Jerry McCoy was on the sideline. The game started. I was rubbing my hands, sat back, and I said, I can't wait to see this front seven go ape shit today. I couldn't wait, and I got just what I was anticipating. Pressure, sacks, and good, solid defense. For a whole three quarters, they played lights out. And usually when 93 is in the game, it's usually the opposite. They play a half of a quarter, and then they just give up the ass. Like who Javier says, they give it up faster than you can put on a condom. But, hey, a win is a win. And another thing, you know, I found a little odd, man. I love the guy that Jameis is as a person. I like him. I like him as a quarterback. I don't love him. I like him. I don't even think Dirk Cutter like him as a quarterback. Listening to Dirk press conference, man, and he served Jameis up today, man. He served him up on a platter. Said Monk got a call in that Jameis didn't run. He said he don't know why I didn't get ran. And, you know, on that play, Jameis took some unnecessary sacks on one of those plays, I'm assuming. And, you know, Dirk made it known that, hey, quarterback did his own thing there, you know. Yeah, that's on him. He served him up. I don't know what that was about, but I don't know how this is going to unfold, man. But, hey, I'll leave it at that. A win is a win. Yeah, go Bucks.
Thank you, Lee. Always good to hear from you. Always good to hear from Lou as well. Hello, Lou.
Justin, Lou from Port Richey, brother. Look, man, the Cleveland game was close, brother, but fuck it. We won it, brother. We're 3-3, man. Look, man, we're going to go up to Cincinnati, brother. Man, I want to see some running. I want to see some screen passes to Rojo. Fuck it, man. So, dude, a little slant to fucking D-Jax, man. But honestly, man, I don't give a fuck who gets the ball. Let's just win this fucking game, man. You know what I'm saying, brother? I want to go up, you know, go up to Cincinnati, brother. Sunday morning, we're going to eat our fucking Frosted Flakes. We're going to fuck Tony Tiger in the ass, and I expect to hear, it's great! Speak softly, bitches.
Scary. Happy Halloween. From Lou, you're right to Outlaw. Hello, Outlaw.
Commish, Outlaw. Three buckets I want to hit on today. All right, so looking back on the game against the Cleveland Browns, a win's a win is a win, and I'll take it any day, every day. Hidden moments in that game. I think we all seem to have forgotten about Lavonte David busting his ass, getting a strip sack of Baker Mayfield on fourth down. That was at least 3 points saved. And then Dirk Cutter having the testicles to go for it on fourth down at midfield in the fourth quarter on fourth and one instead of punting it. Ended up scoring on that drive. So those hidden moments, everybody seems to focus on the missed field goals and the interceptions, but let's focus on the positives. Second bucket. I heard this week that Mike Smith was calling plays that weren't even practiced. I mean, what the fuck is that, people? Derek Brooks hinted at that a couple of weeks ago, said that Monty Kiffin only called plays that the guys perfected in practice, and Rod Marinelli held him accountable to it. I mean, we were calling plays that we didn't even practice? Come on, no wonder these guys looked as confused as farts in a fan factory, running every direction. Third bucket. Y'all be honest with yourselves. When this schedule came out, and we looked at the first six games, most of you only thought the Bears and the Browns were the only two games we could win, which puts us at 2-4. So I know there was some missed opportunities, but we sit here at 500 with a great opportunity ahead of us. Let's be positive. Let's be optimistic. Let's speak softly and carry that big stick. Crushed it.
Outlaw, you're so smart with your takes and your opinions. Good for you, man. Good for you. You know what? Sunday fun day for you this Sunday. I was offended, and I'm not easily offended, but I was offended when I found out this guy was not only going to the Bucks game this past Sunday, but he was in from out of town for the entire weekend. Come on, Sean. I thought we were boys.
Kamish, what's going on? It's Sean from Carolina checking back in with another Bucks take. Guys, I know my voice is seriously hoarse. I lost it at the game yesterday. I was in Tampa for the Browns game. And first and foremost, got to apologize to the commission, all the rest of the stick carriers. I didn't make it out to any type of tailgate because Saturday night, man, we were shit-faced. And making it any type of tailgate with that kind of a night, it was hard to do, and I couldn't pull it off. So, but thank your city for that, man. But sorry I missed you guys. We'll definitely catch you on the next go around. But the game itself, man, I almost couldn't watch that last kick. The stadium was lit when it needed to be, man. I felt like because the defense was actually in the game and provided stops and made the crowd get into the game by what they did during those four quarters. I mean, and honestly, we were kicking their ass, and it was hot. Like, it was hot as shit in that stadium, and the defense started to wear down in the fourth quarter, and I think that's why they gave up those two TDs, man. Like, you could just see they didn't have it. They didn't have it at that time, but you have to give them credit because they rallied. Whoever it was got the defense back where they needed to be in order to close the game out, and they did a fucking good job. There's a lot of heroes in that game. A couple of the tight ends, Lavonte David, Quan Alexander, we're going to miss you. I think Anthony Auclair, whoever it was who made the damn fumble, it might have been the same guy. I don't know, but that last fumble, wow. On a special teams play when we absolutely had to have it, man, you cannot get bigger than that. That's the biggest play really of the season, because we had to have this game more so than any other. I'll say that. You know what I mean? But I know I'm going long here, man, but just a lot to be said about that game. We pulled it out, and we need to be thankful for that. It is 24 hours past, and, like, I was pissed yesterday. I was pissed, but I was still happy at the same time because we won, but because of the way we won when it didn't have to be that way. We should have beat the snot out of that team and had at least 40 points. I mean, it was easy. Stupid mistakes. Like Cutter said, if we can put it together for all three phases, for all four quarters, man, I think we can beat anybody. Boneheaded mistakes has killed this team, and that's why they're 3-3. I mean, there's no way to get around that. Anyway, I'm gonna get off here, and I'll see you guys later. Listen, speak softly, man, and carry a big motherfucking stick. And this last win proved that these boys are ready to carry their big motherfucking stick. Let's get it.
Thanks, Sean. Don't let that shit happen again. Lynn is up in New York. Hi, Lynn.
Justin, Lynn from New York. I don't want to hear a win is a win. What in the holy fuck was that that I saw today on that field? The offense wasn't clicking. I don't know what the fuck was wrong with Jameis. I don't know who the hell was calling the offensive plays. It surely wasn't Monken. Two running plays were on the one. No wonder why they got a safety. Thank God the defense showed up. I pray to God that Kwan didn't tear his ACL. And then they turn off the Jumbotron for Catanzaro because he must have been distracted. Distracted? You can't even hit a fucking extra point. You have one job to do. What the fuck is wrong with this team? Sitting in the stands, I was sick to my stomach watching this bullshit today. They deserve to lose today. They deserve to lose today. And I'm going to tell you something. They play like they play today. They're not going to win another game for the rest of the fucking year. I'm sick of this team already. Get your head out of your asses. I don't know what the hell is going on. Oh, my God. I'm so frustrated. That's all I got.
Yikes, Lynn. I really, really hope that you feel better right now than you did when you sent in that Bucks take. We go from you to Ryan. Ryan's positive, I think. Hi, Ryan.
Justin, Stick Cares, what's up, guys? This is Ryan from Alaska. It's Monday. I listened to about half the podcast so far. Haven't gotten the Bucks take yet. I don't know if I want to because they look... apparently, they're pretty negative. But anyway, you know what? Honestly, it was a pretty ugly game. But a win's a win, man. I'm fucking pumped. When Catanzaro kicked that field goal, me and my brother and my two-year-old son just went nuts. He didn't even know, my little son didn't even know what he was screaming about, but he was fucking hype, dude. He was hype. And I don't think we give them enough credit, the Bucks enough credit, the Bucks offense, or defense for that matter. They played pretty fucking good. Damn sure better than they have all season. But that Browns defense leads the NFL in takeaways. Their pass defense, I don't know the statistic, but, I mean, it's definitely not bad. And Jameis Winston didn't play his greatest game, obviously. But you know what, man? When it came down to it, he put the ball where we needed it, and Catanzaro came through. What a fucking redemption kick. I was ready to fucking hang him from the balcony after he missed that one to seal the game before overtime. But you know what? I'm a Catanzaro fan now. Go Bucks!
Ryan, all the way up there in Alaska. How cool is that, man? We got Stick Carriers and Bucks fans, and they're just all over, man. It's fantastic. Ryan, good to hear from you again. You know, a guy we haven't heard from in a while from Youngstown, Ohio, our buddy Anthony. I believe, Anthony, were you at the game on Sunday? I'm not sure.
Kamish, Anthony from Youngstown, Ohio. It's been a while since I left a Bucks take. I still listen to every podcast, but it's been quite a while since I sent one in. I felt like I needed to here. We were down at the game. I make a trip every year to come down. We were unable to make the tailgate. I sent you a message, but we were unable to make it. Had some ticket issues, but that's a longer story. Anyway, I just wanted to say that I am proud to be a Stick Carrier. I love being on the Facebook group. I just can't read some of that negative bullshit anymore, man. Actually, I got our tickets from the ticket exchange on there. It's awesome. Save money. It was great. But I just can't read the comments anymore. It's too negative. Now, you look at the NFL, man. There's so many games that are one-score games. And if you get a win, you get a win and you take it and you're happy and you move on to next week. I don't know. It's frustrating to see this negativity. Did I think he was going to make the kick? No, I don't think anybody did. But he made it. We fucking won. And let's move on to Cincinnati. We're 3-3. We have a chance over these next 4 weeks to win three out of them. If we win 3 out of 4, brings us to 6-4. And then we're right in the middle of this playoff race, man. That's big. And I hope we continue to do it. I hope the morale comes up and there's not as much fucking negativity because I can't take it anymore. Go fucking Bucks.
Well, I appreciate it, Anthony, and I'm glad that you're on the Facebook page. And you know, I can tell you, I think from the beginning when this was all exploding, you know, one thing that I wanted it to be. This isn't a private organization or group. There's plenty of those out there that you can pay a membership fee and be a part of. I wasn't trying, and still am not trying, to create a group per se that has members and non-members. This is just a movement. It's just fans. So when you have over 6,000, I haven't checked how many, but it's definitely over 6,000 people on one Facebook page, the negative ones tend to be louder. So the only thing you can do is combat their negativity with positivity. And if they are providing personal attacks or anything like that, just bring it to my attention, and I will not hesitate to remove people from the page if they get personal, especially with attacks on other Bucks fans. Thanks, Anthony. We go from Anthony. Ooh, Peyton's first Bucks take, and he is fired up.
Justin, Stick Cares, what's going on? It's Peyton, man. First time sending something in. Sort of new to the podcast. Don't know how the hell I missed this podcast this long time, but I'm glad I'm here because this shit is fire. Had to send something in today, man. I'm sick and tired of hearing these or reading these whiny-ass, bitchy-ass, supposed Bucks fans on these different websites. It's like, what the fuck are y'all complaining about, man? It's a victory. It's victory Monday, victory fucking Tuesday. We got to win. You feel good about yourself until the next fucking game. I don't know what the hell they're complaining about. They must have us confused with the Patriots fans, because the Patriots fans might can be, you know, bougie enough to bitch about a victory after having 17 seasons of double-digit wins. You know, a Steelers fan might can bitch when they win a game that's close because they got multiple Lombardi trophies in the damn case. You know, but when you're a Bucks fan, you got 42 years of a storied history of losing. You ain't been to the playoffs since 07 and you lost. You haven't had a double-digit win season since Raheem and fucking Freeman. You can't complain about a victory no matter fucking how you get that crap. 3-0 is a damn happy Monday. I'm telling you, if you're a fan of the Bucks, you know you get a victory any way possible, especially when your defense has been so sorry the last 2+ years and they came and played. They lost their quarterback on defense before the halftime and fucking they came and played. Yeah, some plays left out there. We fucking, that 3rd and 26 a scramble by fucking Mayfield shouldn't have happened. Okay, we missed some routes here and there, but by and large, that was the best defensive performance we've had in like a year and a half. What? And y'all complaining about the shit. Oh, Jameis, put Fitz back in. No, defenses in the NFL don't sit there and let you do the same shit over and over again. You didn't see that shit in the fucking first half of the Steelers game? You didn't see the fucking Bears? They fucking gonna game plan for that passing shit and sit back on the pass. That's why I'm like, Jameis, 395 yards last week, 365 this week, over 420 last 2 weeks. That them passes had to be where they were because the teams are sitting back and not letting Deshaun get deep every time. Now, Jameis got to get his fucking deep ball together because when you can't get your chance, you got to take your shots. His ball is too fucking flat. He's out throwing the damn route. He needs to get some more fucking rainbow and arc on that shit, drop it in a bucket. But you know what? A victory is a fucking victory. 365. He dropped back 66 times. He ran for 10 for 55, led the team in rushing. Half of those fucking rushes were first downs. How are you complaining? The defense fucking got sacks. And some of those, I ain't gonna lie to you, some of those damn sacks, it was cause of damn, the boys was covering. Mayfield couldn't find nobody. A lot of his passes, especially in the first half, were quick reads. You're gonna throw to this guy. If that's not open, the next read. And he couldn't fucking find the next read and he got sacked. That shows coverage. They're not running wide open like against the Bears. That's worth applauding. That's worth fucking being happy about. But y'all sitting here bitching. But I'm sure the same fans bitching about a fucking Buccaneers victory are the same ones who got season tickets and selling them shits to the opposing team's fucking fans and letting them fucking come load up in Ray J and cheer and fucking and shit. I'm going to tell you, man, I just retired from the Army last fucking month. I can't wait to get my ass back home, hopefully in January, maybe after the kids get out of school in June. And I'm going to fucking have season tickets. I'm going to fucking be at fucking Buffalo Wild Wings like the rest of you bastards should be this Sunday on this Bengals game. And I don't give a fuck if my team is winning. I'm cheering for them hard as fuck. I'm going to fucking critique them like hell. But when we win, I'm going to fucking be happy as shit because I can fucking have a week of fucking pleasant dreams. Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick, you
wow.
Bitches.
Wow. 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 Peyton's first ever Bucks take. And as he was talking, because I've already listened to it beforehand, as that was playing, I turned to Holly. Holly, I told you, I said, this guy is on fire. This guy loves the podcast. This guy is what I want the fans to be. pissed off and criticize the team, but criticize them because you want them to win, not because you want to be right. And then, like he said, hey, man, when they win, I'm going to cheer louder than everyone else. Isn't that what I said?
That's what you said.
At least you could have said that's what he said.
That's what she said.
No, no, that's what he said.
But he didn't say that. You said that.
Excuse me? I'm a he.
I thought you meant the other he.
No. Me. Me as he. God. He? No. No he he. Recording this late tonight, if you can't tell. Jeremy and Callie's up with us. Oh. Jeremy, I believe Jeremy invites me out to California to partake in some recreational habits that are legal there.
Mr. Commish, what's up? It's Jeremy and Callie. Hey, man, anytime you want to come out to California and have a recreational time, just let me know. I'd love to join you. But you got to bring some of that Cigar City Highlight, man. That stuff is so good. It's all I drank at the draft party, and it was so damn good, just per your recommendation. The first half was all I got to watch of the game. Second half, the wife and I had a little engagement for our anniversary. So we went to a movie. I had to uphold that. Anyway, I got out of the movie and I see on Facebook that everybody's blasting Jameis, blasting all this, saying, oh, he's horrible. Why do we do this, that? But I see we won in overtime. So I'm like, why are people blasting him again? I see his points. I mean, I got him on my fantasy team. I see how much, you know, he scores anyway. But you know what? Dude, the guy's a baller. I mean, how much he ran in the beginning just to make plays for us? Now, second half, I get it. But we hired Jameis as a playmaker. You know, playmakers also are mistake makers because he works hard. He does what he has to do. Now, he's going to make a mistake because he's trying to get the ball in the hands of the receiver. He's not just standing back there taking a fucking sack. You know, he's scrambling. He's doing his shit. Now, I know he got turnovers. He got stuff like that. God damn it, we can work on that. And who knows? I don't know if he's hurting from his shoulder because he got slammed for every time he's fucking rushing it. But he made our first downs that we needed to get the goddamn touchdowns. That's the reason we hired him. Now, our secondary is fucking young, but they are stopping people. Come on. Jesus Christ. The secondary of the Browns is actually pretty fucking good. So, fuck. Anyway, we won! Get the fuck over it! I have kids, and we watched Frozen! And just like we said, what was it, 2 years ago? Let it go! Let it go! Just fucking let it go! Go Bucks! Fucking wreak havoc!
I think I speak for all Bucks fans when I say that Jeremy is obviously not partaking in the recreational drugs, is he? And did he say, let it go?
Let it go, let it go. I am one with the wind and sky. Let it go, let it go. You'll never see me cry.
Well, you'll probably see me cry a Sunday near you. If the Bucks keep not being able to run the football, come on, boys. All right, thanks to our sponsors, Buffalo Wild Wings, where they have their $5 game day menu, $5 pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light, select cocktails, hamburgers, and brats. It's all at Buffalo Wild Wings, and it's all during game time. $5. Master of Subaru, largest selection of new and pre-owned vehicles in town, and it's the only car dealership in Tampa Bay giving you a discount simply for rooting for the Bucks. Yeah, if you're a stick carrier, tell them you're a stick carrier. You get special discounted pricing just for saying that. And trust me, I just bought a car this year, and it works. So do it. Master of Subaru and masterofsubaru.com. Cigar City, Cigar City Highlight, Cigar City Evasion, Cigar City Brewing. Anytime you're thinking about what beer you should be drinking at the bar or at home, Cigar City is the place to go, and it's made right here in Tampa Bay.
Woo!
Before, it's what you drink before you drink Cigar City Highlight. Trust me, B4 has saved me from many of those hangovers. And if you are going to take part in some of this Cigar City Highlight or Invasion this weekend, get you some B4 as well. B4 available in ABC liquor stores all across the Bay Area or at drinkb4.com. And of course, once Halloween is over and I don't have to look and dress like Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy, I'll be going to see Christian at Headlines Barbershop. He'll get me faded up all nice and tight. Whew, I'm going to look so good. Holly, it's going to be hard to keep me out of bed.
What?
Exactly. And thanks to every single one of you for listening to this podcast, for soaring these numbers through the roof. I cannot thank you enough. You drive me, you win, the sponsors, of course, drive me to do the very best I can on every single podcast. So, with that being said, we will be back potentially with a hype cast on Friday. I mean, I'm going to try.
Why are you taking so long right now?
Because.
Wrap it up.
Just shut your mouth.
You shut your mouth and turn your mic off.
All right, fine.
How
well, then.
How much more you got to blab?
Shut up. We'll go right back into the words of the Godfather himself, Dirk Cutter, when he said these words. We're wondering if we should still be speaking softly, but I know for one thing, we should be carrying it. But I play them for you. Actually, I don't play them for you. I hand the microphone over to a much sexier voice.
What do you want me to do? Oh.
Oh, I forgot she's sick with a sore throat.
I'm sick. Speak softly. But carry that big fucking stick.
Well, that was wrong. It's a speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
That's it.
No, you just said mother. You didn't even say mother. There was no mother in that.
Lately, they haven't been bringing the mother stick.
Yeah, I know. They haven't been bringing any stick, really. But can you do it sexier? I'm trying to get all of these guys that are listening, I'm trying to give them an erection.
Speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
Whew. There it is. Nailed it.
Show! Yeah.